really need your prayers every time I get in this place. The Lord's the one that knows what he's doing. We need his help and his inspiration and anointing. Written on the board, the word attuned. I'd like to begin in the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews 5, and beginning in the 11th verse, says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Senses are an organ, by definition, an organ of perception. The means by which we're able to see, smell, and hear, and feel, and taste the world around us. And thank the Lord for senses. They're not only for our enjoyment. I heard talking to a brother there at the Green Bank meeting who had COVID and said that he still hadn't recovered his sense of taste, that he could eat ice cream and it couldn't taste it. He couldn't really get anything from it. And I thought, what an awful thing to be under, to not be able to taste Rocky Road ice cream. Well, there's pleasure that we get from being able to taste, from being able to see the things around us. But it's not only for our pleasure and our enjoyment, it's also for our preservation, it's for our safety, to be able to sense and to be able to hear, to be able to feel something, maybe the temperature of something, or be able to hear a horn that's honking as you're going, approaching an intersection or something. It's important to be able to have senses, to be able to perceive things around us. Well, this word attuned that I've written on the board maybe doesn't mean a whole lot without context. The word attuned means receptive or aware or attentive or responsive unto, attuned. We might hear sometimes something like, well, they're very well attuned to the situation around them, or the politician there is not very well attuned to the day-to-day struggles of somebody that their constituents or their voters. In other words, they're out of touch. They're not perceptive of the day-to-day struggles of those that are around them. I want us to consider this morning what it is that we are attuned unto or with. I'd like to look at the 12th chapter of Luke before we say much more. Luke 12. Fifty-fourth verse. "He said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?" He told him here that you're able, you've got some knowledge and understanding of nature that's around you, you're attuned unto the signs of nature. Well, they needed to be. It was beneficial to them. And those things come by more than just schools of learning. They come by experience. They come by being out in the fishing boat, and you look at the clouds and think, well, I don't think those mean anything. And then you see them start rolling in, and you learn. The more that you're exposed to, the more that you're in the element of nature and exposed to it, well, we have today access to our weather apps that'll tell us what the weather's going to do over the next 10 days and what the temperature will be and the weather patterns and all. You know, in so many facets of our lives, we're much more out of tune with nature around us than what our forefathers were, who were dependent upon nature about them and upon the weather and upon their ability to hunt, upon their ability to understand the signs of nature around them and when it's time to plan and to harvest and how to do those sorts of things. I remember learning about some of the first settlers that came from Europe to this land, landed in Jamestown, and I guess it was the first winter, or one of the first, within a couple years of their landing in Jamestown, that they had a fierce winter that was known as the starving time, because so many of the people died. Starvation, of cold, of improper preparation for the winter that they were facing, and it nearly wiped out the fledgling colony that had just started. But there were some who lived in this land who fared much better than the settlers. They were attuned unto their surroundings. They had learned how to adapt. They had learned how to acclimate to their surroundings. They had learned how to prepare for the seasons, and they had been through some seasons, and so they knew what they needed to prepare for. Unlike those that had come maybe from the streets of London or from the cities in Holland and the places that they had come from, that they weren't as accustomed or as attuned unto survival as what these men and women and children were. So they were ill prepared for the dangers and the hardships that befell them. Well, you may remember a man named Squanto, further north up the coast in Massachusetts Bay Colony. Just a few years after that, he made, well, there's a whole story behind it we won't get into, but he made contact with the settlers, understood something of their language, and was able to communicate with them. And he taught them how to make ends meet. He taught them how to plant maize, and he taught them the proper techniques to be able to grow food in this land. And he was instrumental in them being able to really get a foothold in this land. Well, he was much more attuned unto the setting and the land and nature around them in this place than these people were that were coming in. So I want us to understand the context of what it means to be attuned to something. I'm not nearly as attuned to nature as other people are that spend a lot of time in nature, or those of before, that it meant, well, if I go hunting and I shoot something and I'm not able to track it down, it's a disappointment. But there were others who've gone before that if they couldn't track it down, it meant they and their family went hungry that night. It was much more important that they be able to read and understand the signs and know how to track game through the forest or the fields and across streams or whatever it might be to the others, so that they be able to read and understand. Well, someone that's not attuned unto the signs of nature, you can take them in off of the city streets and put them in the woods and they won't know anything, but that's a tree and I don't know east from west from north, and but somebody that is acclimated or attuned unto it, they're able to look at the very same things and understand and see an animal pass by this way not very long ago, and it was dragging a foot like it was injured, and can read so much more into the things that they're looking at than somebody that is not attuned unto it. Somebody else will walk right by and not interpret a thing from what they were seeing. Well, I think there's value in being able to do those things. I think there's value in learning some survival techniques and things like that. But there's more importance than things like that. As Jesus was telling the people here, he said, you're able to discern the face of the sky. You're able to read the earth, and you're right about it. You're attuned unto these things, but you're not attuned unto what's most important. You're not able to see. You walk right past it, and you don't even discern and understand what's so much more important than the sky and whether it's going to rain tomorrow. You're missing the most important things and walking right past them. So today, what is it that we are attuned unto? People are attuned unto things of the world. And so we might as well, if that's what we give ourselves unto. Let's look at the book of James. James, the third chapter. The 15th verse says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There are two different wisdoms here, he's saying. There is a wisdom that is from beneath. There is a wisdom of this world. And if you walk in the course and the ways of this world, you'll learn the wisdom of this world. Perhaps you've heard the phrase street cred or street credibility. That if you're in the environment of the inner city, it's very easy to distinguish those that haven't lived in that environment. Because when you're surrounded by that environment and you talk the talk and you walk the walk, and there are certain gestures and there are certain ways of body movement even within certain groups of people. Well, I don't know how better to say that. There's, even within young people, you'll hear certain ways of phrases that are said and certain intonation of voice even that is, it's popular. It's the way of speaking, and it changes over time. And I won't try to imitate or give many examples of that, but you can see it and you can hear it over time. And somehow it just seems out of place for an older person to try to adapt to that. They'll look at, you're out of place, old timer. Well, what is it that we are attuned unto? For there is a wisdom of this world. There is a wisdom that we can learn from the world and learn the ways of the world. We can be rehearsed in all the things of the world. You ever feel out of place in this world? Well, I hope so. Have a group of folks gathered together. Say, have you ever seen such and such show? Such and such movie? Or they'll start quoting a line from some movie and everybody else is laughing and saying, did I miss something? I don't even know what you're talking about here. I'm sorry. Well, you haven't seen such and such. No, I've not seen it. Well, that's how some people relate to the world, is by the things that they've seen, the things that they've watched. And whenever they encounter things in life, they relate back to something like that. Maybe there are people who, they can be in a restaurant or a store, and within seconds of a song coming on overhead, they'll say, oh, that's so-and-so, that was released in such-and-such year, and it made this place on the charts, and say, I might not have even noticed there was a song playing. I sure wouldn't have any idea who's singing it or what the song was or when it was written. I'm sorry, I'm not attuned to that. That's not what my life is centered on. Well, there's a scripture also I want to get, I believe, maybe goes along with these thoughts in the book of Romans. The 16th chapter. Romans 16 and 19 says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil." You know, we need not be ashamed when we're simple concerning the ways of the world. Whenever we're not versed and educated and learned in the ways and the avenues and the ways of talking of the world. Yes, we're going to stick out. It's going to be obvious that we don't belong, that we don't have worldly cred or credibility. It's going to be apparent with us, but that's okay. What is it that we're attuned unto? We can be attuned unto the things that the world's talking about. We can feel like we've got to be attuned unto who's at the top of the charts and where this team is in the rankings. Because that's what the world is attuned unto. But there's something more important, more valuable for us to be attuned unto than the things of this world. Than to be able to speak unto the things that this world knows so much about. The fashion, the things that is important to the world, that they know everything about. They're attuned unto it. But he said, I would have you to be simple concerning those things. Don't let curiosity get the best of you. Don't feel like you've got to acclimate unto the things of the world. Is talking about and laughing about and enjoying. There is a simplicity. There is an ignorance that we ought to have about some of the things of this world. So what is it rather that we ought to be attuned unto? I would have you rather to be wise unto that which is good. To be attuned unto something of much greater value. There are people who are attuned unto offenses. There are people that are attuned unto racism. There are people that are attuned unto discrimination. And I want to be a little more specific what I mean. There is an ugly sin in this world, in this nation, in the communities in which we live. And it is the sin of racism. You know that the enemy likes to take advantage of something like that and hijack it to the distraction of many souls. The enemy would like to make a smoke screen out of it. That he can throw up this smoke screen and hide and conceal the things that he's really working on. Well, Jesus said here, again, you're so, using the wording that we are, you're so tuned in to nature and all, but you're missing what's going on right over here. Remember talking to a man that had been among the saints at one time, chosen another path, and very much integrated himself into the ways of the world, and it's very apparent in choices and decisions and how it's impacted his family and the decisions that they've made. But he was talking with me and we were having a cordial enough conversation, but he was talking about the things around in this world that were so concerning to him, and the direction of our nation, and the direction that our government is going, and all of these things that he was concerned about. But he couldn't see where the devil was working in his own life. He wasn't able to discern what the enemy was doing within his own family. You see, there's only so much value for us to be able to see. Well, maybe there's something to that. But I need to be wise unto what the enemy's trying to do here in my life.
Yes,
back to the comment about discrimination. Do you know if we're looking for it, we'll find it? If we are attuned unto it, we'll see it on every hand. And I want to illustrate that maybe this way. If you ever researched, maybe it's a vehicle. You need to buy a vehicle, and if you're like me, you want to research all about it, research the features and research the reviews on it and maintenance costs and all of that, and I'll research and research and research, and then maybe I buy that, and I found myself, as I've researched that kind of vehicle and I've looked at it and observed it long enough, then I say, my goodness, there are so many of these Honda Odysseys on the road. There are so many of this vehicle all over. You know why it is? It's because I am attuned unto it. It's because that's what my mind is focused on. I've been thinking on it. I've been looking on it. And so it catches my attention every time I see it. It's not that there are more on the road now than there were last month, but now I am attuned unto it. The enemy wants to get us attuned unto all the strife and the division and everything that's going on in our world, and so become distracted and discouraged by it that I can't even function as I ought to function. We need not be attuned unto it. We see all the things that are going on in the world around us, but we're not to be a part of the world. We're certainly not to buy into the world's philosophies. Discrimination and racism has no place in the heart of a Christian, of a child of God. There's no room. There's an incompatibility there. That's somebody that Christ died for. May it never be named among the church of God. You know, if we go looking for it, if we go with a mindset that I am a victim, with a mindset that everybody that's not like me is out to get me, is against me, you know, we'll be so attuned unto that that the cashier at Walmart maybe doesn't smile at me, doesn't look up at me, and I think, oh, I know why it is. It's because I'm a bald man. And they don't like bald people. I know why it is. And I'm self-conscious about this. And I went to the restaurant and they seated me back in the very far corner. I know why. They don't want them. And I'm using an exaggerated example, of course. They don't want other patrons to see that they've got bald people in here. So they're setting me back in the back corner. Well, the reality might have been completely different than that. That's where the server that's there today, that's their area of the restaurant, so I'm seated there. But if I am attuned unto something, that's what I'm going to see every time. It's what will be visible and top of mind to me, and the first thought that comes into my mind. Lord, help us so we not be attuned unto the strife that the enemy tries to stir up. And it's not just in society. Lord, help us not to be critical and fault-finding. And I think about that, husbands and wives, with our children and within our family units, and of course among one another, that we not be attuned to those kind of whispers that the enemy would try to bring and give. Jesus asked the Pharisees about John the Baptist. And so what'd you go out to see? They weren't real satisfied with what they had heard of John the Baptist. It became apparent they didn't, most of them, accept the message that it came bringing about the Christ, about the Messiah. They said, what'd you go out to see? What were you expecting? What were you looking for? You know, whenever they came to hear Jesus with a heart that was not attuned to the things of God, but a heart that was attuned to their own darkness within their heart, they came and they found occasion to find fault. They came and they listened to the things Jesus was saying, and of all things on the Sabbath day, of all things your disciples didn't wash their hands. That's what they were attuned unto. It's what they went out looking for. It's what they went listening for. And you know, if we approach living for the Lord that way, we'll find occasion to stumble. We'll find occasion of fault with the preaching of the word or with people. You know, whenever we are fearful, you ever been nervous at night? I'm not one that's scared of the dark, I don't believe. But I remember we moved into the house that we had in Clayton. Different house, a strange house to me, as in different. And I was the first one to stay in the house. Went in the night that we closed on it, I believe it was, because I needed to do some work. No furniture in the house. And I slept in there. You know, there was just something unnerving about this different house. And I wasn't used to it. And I heard different creaks and different sounds in the house that just unnerved me. And it was a little while before I could go to sleep. You know, whenever we're fearful, we'll hear every sound. Whenever we're fearful, the enemy will present all kinds of things before us that we'll see and that we'll notice and that we'll observe. So what is it that we should be attuned unto? For Peter, it shouldn't have been the waves around him. It shouldn't have been the wind that he was attuned to. It should have been the Master's presence. So in all of this that we're thinking about, of people that are attuned or honed in on, focused on, you know what where the word attuned really comes from? If you look at it, it's two words put together. To be at tune. To be tuned, or to be brought to the same tune of something else. Or to harmonize with, to be in harmony with. Do we really want to be in harmony with this world? Do we really want to blend and harmonize with the spirit of this world? There's a couple songs that like to look at. Number 42. It says, tune your harps, ye ransomed throng, and extol the Christ. Sing the name that opened mercy's door. Oh, 'tis music, sweetest music to sinners lost, sweetest to the saints forevermore. Oh, Lord wants to tune our harps. Well, what is our that? Perhaps a reference to the passage in Psalms that talks about those who were taken captive, and the captors required of the captives that they sing some of the songs of Jerusalem, and they said, How can we sing the Lord's song in the land of our captivity? And they hanged their harps upon the willows. You know, the Lord has a song for us to sing. The Lord wants there to be music within our heart, but it's not to harmonize, thank the Lord, with the music of this world, with the music that comes forth from people's hearts. Many of the songs, perhaps all of the songs, I suppose, written of the world, and that top the charts are songs that people relate to. They're songs that people's hearts harmonize with. They relate unto it. This is my experience. This is my passion. That's my longing as well. You know, when David said he put a new song in my heart. Even praises unto our God. Number 89 says, I sing of my Redeemer, happy in the way. He sweetly tunes the spirit, singing all the day. There is music in my soul, oh, there is music in my soul. 'Tis my glory ever singing, heaven's balm has made me whole. There is music in my soul, oh, let the happy tidings roll. Let it roll, let it roll, oh, there's music in my soul. We want to be attuned to something much better than what this world has to offer. Think about a scripture found in the book of John, 14th chapter. John 14 and 30. Jesus said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You know, the prince of this world is going to come by every one of us. Is he going to find that we are attuned unto him, unto his things? Or that there's no harmony? When the enemy comes along, there's nothing in here of yours. It doesn't speak to me. It doesn't call after me. It doesn't belong to you. There's another song that has been on my heart. I wonder if maybe you could help me sing a verse or two of it. Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the whole life of folly and sin, Satan may call the world may entreat me. There is no voice that answers within. Dead to the world, the voices that call me. Living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. Yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me. Dead to the voices that once did call me. Satan may call, the world may entreat, but now there's no voice that answers within. I'm not tuned in to that. Well, a radio receiver, if you tune to the channel, you're going to receive what's being broadcast across that frequency. And you know, if our hearts are attuned unto the things of this world, we will receive the things that are being broadcast across that frequency. And how much it is, how full this world is of it. Lord, help us not to be attuned, not to be... That's what catches our attention. That's what grabs our affections, and it's like we've got the antenna up, that's where our eyes go, and that's what we find ourselves drawn to. There's a better experience than that we can have with the Lord, that I'm tuned not to the things of this world, but I'm tuned to the Spirit of God and what His desires are and the things of God. And just like we may be so out of our element whenever we go, if we're not accustomed to being out in nature or out into the woods or in the inner city, taken out of our element and placed somewhere completely different. We've probably all had occasions of that, that we're introduced into a setting or a place that I don't even hardly know how to function here. I've had occasion in business travel to be taken to places that I never would have wanted to pay that much money for food, but I'm brought in there and I feel so out of place. Is it okay to set my napkin on the table? Is it okay to, I clanked my fork against the plate and you just can't even hardly enjoy yourself. To this country boy, thought one time that we'd go for an anniversary trip to a hotel that has more stars than what we usually go to. And we drove up to the hotel and I was looking for the parking and I couldn't find the parking spaces. All I could find was a sign that said valet parking. Pull up here for $25. Thought, I don't want to pay $25 to park my car. And I paid more money for this hotel than I usually would have the ones that I could park at for free. This doesn't make sense to me. Well, I reluctantly paid the man the money to go park my car. Walked on in and carrying my bags, and here comes the porter, I guess you call him, bellboy, whoever. Here, let me take you. I will take your bags for you. But oh boy, here comes some more expense. And he takes us up the elevator and drops it off in the room. Another hotel I had stayed in, they brought a pillow menu where you could look through the menu and select what kind of pillow you wanted. And they ask if you want them to bring your slippers to you and all those kind of things. And I think I'm out of my element here. There are people that may feel like they're right at home and say, yes, please come and put my slippers on for me and all of that. I don't need that. Just point me in the direction of my room and I got it from there. And then they didn't even provide free breakfast the next morning. Out of our element. To an extent, we ought to be out of our element in this world. Yes. And not to feel like we're the strange ones for being out of our element. You know, and I'll just say I haven't tried this per se, but whenever someone says, hey, do you ever see that one show? Say, no, but have you ever read Mark 14? And now who's out of their element? Have you read that? Oh, have you ever studied into the life of Elisha? Who? You don't know who Elisha is? God bless you. Let's take some time here. You see, we can feel like we're the ones on their turf. And we just need to kind of back into our corner and be quiet. But there's something more important for us to be attuned unto. And it's something that this world in their mad rush just rushes right past. And they give no heed. Wisdom in Ecclesiastes, I believe it is personified. It said, it's like one who's standing in the concourses and the chief places of business and all, in public squares, if you will, and lifting up her voice and crying out, and yet people just keep on passing by. They keep on going, not paying any mind or any heed unto the voice of wisdom. They're tuned into something else. They're focused on something else. The ways of God and the voice of God is not so overpowering that should we choose to tune it out, that it's going to be the loudest thing blaring anyway. His voice is one that is still and quiet. And you've got to listen for it. And you've got to be tuned into it to recognize it for what it is. People instead kick against the pricks and they blame their spouse, saying they're incompatible. I can't live with you any longer. Not recognizing that there's something here within me that God's trying to reveal that I need to change, that I need to deal with. But they're not attuned to that. They're attuned to my own selfish interests and my own desires and my own pleasures. And our world has conditioned people to be that way. Whatever you choose to do, don't let anybody get in your way of your pleasure and your fulfillment and your happiness and all of those sorts of things. If they get in your way, you just climb over them and keep on going. People get tuned into this worldly wisdom and this worldly way of thinking. And there's a quiet voice of wisdom crying out to those that will listen, to those that will stop the mad rush of the fulfillment of the flesh and desires of self long enough to listen. There's a still small voice that calls out, says there's a better way. Psalms, the 32nd chapter. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Living for the Lord isn't supposed to be by some constraint or by some force or enough pain inflicted on us. It finally gets our attention. But it is to be a service of the heart that we are attuned unto the things of God. We are attuned unto the Spirit of God and what His desires are. And it shouldn't be so foreign of a thing, such a grinding of gears for us to read the Word of God or for us to come to the house of worship, because our hearts are to be attuned unto that. I know we go about our work and we on the job and at the house and at school and the things that we do, we have to focus on those things. But our hearts are to meditate on the things of God. Our minds are to think upon the Lord and to not be so strange and distant. You know, there's so many things that we can miss on a daily basis. Think about just how driving down the interstate at 70 miles an hour, you don't get to observe the level of detail of things that the pioneers who were headed across the West in a wagon might take note of, that little unique flower that grows right in that place, or a different species of bird in this area. And all of those, we go just so fast in our lives to get to the next place. And we can do that also with the speed of our lives and our minds so occupied and so busy that we go through life just going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And the Lord's saying, slow down. Listen. Look at what I planted over there. Look at the sky, the sunset that I just created. My child, think about me. Scripture says in Romans, the first chapter, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, it wasn't convenient for them. Their mind was filled with other things. But Lord, help us that He'd keep our minds in perfect peace, keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Lord, help us to be attuned unto the Spirit of God. We believe in Holy Spirit leadership, not because it's something that we came up with to say let's distinguish us from other people or churches, but because the Bible teaches that that is the functioning of the church of God. That is what places the members in the body, and it's what orders and orchestrates and plans and all within the body of Christ. You know, Holy Spirit leadership works.
Yes.
It works. But there's also a requirement for it to work as effectively as it needs to work. We need to be attuned to the Spirit of God. We need to be led of the Spirit of God. And to be led of the Spirit of God is more than to come to church and now say, okay, now I need to be led of God. It starts before that. Remember the scripture that we started with. It said, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, being attuned unto the Spirit of God, comes from day by day by day listening for the voice of God, listening to the Spirit of God, heeding the Spirit's checks. Lord, what would you have me to do here? Lord, even in the small things, whenever we're seeking the Lord about the small things, and I'm not saying being so hesitant that I'm standing in the aisle of the grocery store saying, Lord, should I buy beans or should I buy peas? I'm not talking about that, but being so incorporating the Lord into every facet of my life, every aspect of my life. Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. We should be attuned to the needs of people that are around us. We should be attuned to the needs of the hurting and attuned to the Spirit of God. Lord, what would you have me do here? And as we exercise that sense, exercise our spirit to be attuned to the Spirit of God in all of these little, minor, insignificant ways of our everyday life, then you know it's not going to be such a strange thing for me to come to service and the Spirit of the Lord inspire a song to my heart and to say, you know, I believe the Lord brought that to my heart. Or for the Lord to bring a thought to my mind and for me to be able to recognize the Lord inspired that thought. Because it's the same feel, the same sound of the sweet Spirit of God that I've been listening to, that I've been seeking, that I've been talking and communing with. I believe that's the way the Holy Spirit leadership works. It's not just to be among the ministers. Oh, we must be, and Lord, help us to be led by the Spirit of God. But among the congregation of the saints, as we're led by the Spirit of God and attuned unto the Spirit, maybe the Spirit doesn't want us today to sing four songs and then prayer requests, and then, but Lord, help us and help me to be so attuned unto the moving of the Spirit that I can recognize, you know what, I think the Spirit's moving in a little different direction here. You know what, this may not be the time for me to say this, or you know what, I think maybe the Spirit is moving me to speak a word here. And it works together like a well-synchronized orchestra. When every member of the body is led by the Spirit of God and in tune with the Spirit of God, and He is the orchestra director. He is the one that is leading and laying upon the hearts of individuals of what ought to be done. He doesn't lead in discordant directions and ways. He doesn't lead in ways that are going to clash and conflict. And so, Lord, help us. Our homework assignment every day of our lives. Lord, help me to be in tune with your Spirit before I ever come into the church service, the worship service. Lord, help me to be attuned. Help me to listen for that still small voice. To learn the voice of the Lord. To learn whenever He's checking me against doing this. To learn whenever the Lord is checking me to say, you know, you shouldn't say that right now. If I can't heed the Spirit's checks in that way in my life, can I really expect to be led of God and led by the Spirit whenever He checks me about saying something in the worship service or calling a song or whatever it is? And I thank the Lord for our freedom. And I sure hope you won't take that as trying to stifle our freedom. I want to encourage us to be led by the Spirit of God, to be free in the Lord. Every one of us to be led. And as the Spirit leads, I say amen. Lord, bless you, brother. Lord, bless you, sister. If the Spirit leads, move out. And there is, didn't know I'd get in this direction exactly. There is a place of duty. I don't believe whenever it comes time to pray that we necessarily need to stay knelt until someone feels a strong surge of inspiration to pray. We need to bring requests before the Lord. And Lord, I'm gonna talk to you because it's time to talk to you. There is a place of fulfilling our responsibility and our duty and being willing vessels before the Lord. You know, the Lord has such a blessed place of being tuned with His Spirit. And sometimes we can get a little bit out of tune. I've recognized places in my life that I've looked at and looked back on and realized, you know what? That wasn't wisdom. You know what? I shouldn't have done that right then. I should have waited. I should have... Lord, help me to learn, to exercise my senses, to exercise my discernment of the moving and the leading of the Spirit of the Lord. We need not be so fearful of whether or not we've got the exact... Well, what if that's not the exact right song? It is for us to live a life that is in tune with the Spirit of God, and our hearts in tune with His movings and His leadings. He sweetly tunes the Spirit, happy all the way. That's what I want to be attuned unto in this life. You pray for me. Amen.